You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 12th of August 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market rose to another record high. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.4%. We'll have the details with Mike Jenniker from UBS Wealth Management in a few moments. But it comes as the Reserve Bank cut official interest rates, as expected, from 3.85% to 3.6%. In a few moments, we'll find out what it means for your mortgage. But first, let's find out why the RBA cut interest rates and if there are more cuts to come. For that, I spoke with Gareth Spence, the head of Australian Economics at NAB. Gareth, so the RBA cut interest rates as expected to 3.6%. Why?
I think largely in part that they kind of got further confirmation that inflation continues to return towards target. So, after the last meeting, we've got the quarterly CPI for Q2, and that kind of confirmed that inflation, is back to 2.7%. And, looking forward in the next couple of quarters, looks like it will drop to something closer to 2.6%. So for them, largely, it's gaining that further confidence that inflation is returning to target. And as that happens, they could look to remove some more of that restrictiveness and focus on the other side of the mandate, which is the unemployment rate or the labour market more broadly, and kind of ensure that, their neat set of forecasts kind of remain on track.
So speaking of those forecasts, right, what about future rate cuts? Because the RBA also released its statement on monetary policy today. What are you feeling based on what the RBA is saying and has penciled in those forecasts?
Look, we still think they'll be pretty gradual and pretty cautious, but I think, ultimately we still think they'll continue to ease. So, while kind of measuring where the neutral rate is, or the rate that kind of has not much impact on the economy either way, is probably a little bit lower and hard to assess in real time. We think they'll continue to ease kind of over coming quarters back to around that 3% mark, which is in fact is kind of their assumption in underlying their forecast in the statement today. So I think for them, as inflation moderates, let's see what happens to the unemployment rate. It certainly ticked up last month. We actually think it'll tick back down a little bit tomorrow when it's released for July. But, most people still do expect it to gradually drift a little bit higher. So for us, we think certainly, as the economy still kind of recovers from a very weak private sector level of activity, we need a couple more cuts just to really support that household sector and kind of see activity return to trend.
Yeah, fair bit of data still to come. Wages tomorrow, the unemployment rate on Thursday. You mentioned productivity there. The RBA also took a bit of a deep dive on productivity today and revised down its productivity growth assumption. What do you make of this?
I think pretty sensible, to be honest. Kind of it is an assumption. It's something that's very hard to forecast. It's actually very hard. Something that we get asked a lot is kind of what drives productivity? How can we address it? And that's something that will come up in coming weeks with the government's round table. But I think certainly, an assumption of 1% was quite strong, and they've revised down to that kind of 0.7% annually. That is a little bit stronger than what we've done over recent years. And I guess looking through kind of some pandemic sort of impacts, that is still an improvement from where we were. But I guess quite interestingly, and as they identify in the statement today, it's probably a little bit closer to something we'd been assuming of around 0.5%. And really, when you kind of look through the data and you kind of strip out the impact of, the mining sector's waning productivity as mines age, and we have to look harder and harder for more gas and things like that, as well as kind of look through the impact of, really those services sectors that have been growing quite strongly but typically have a lower level of productivity, is actually the underlying rate of productivity in the economy probably has been something closer to around half to 0.6 over time. So 0.7 seems quite reasonable, but obviously we'll see where it goes from here.
And finally, today, NAB's also released its NAB Business Survey. We're now in a lower interest rate environment. How are businesses feeling in all of this?
Yeah, that's right. So, confidence up again in the month and is now kind of slightly above average, despite those, quite gloomy global headlines that we see at the moment. But I think, it does reflect this kind of growing optimism sort of domestically, where we know that lower rates are starting to feed through. And, in some of the other data we've looked at over recent months, like consumer spending and the partial indicators for that, which have shown, some improvement from earlier in the year. So I think largely for the business survey, kind of reflecting that kind of recovery and sort of people's outlook. It is interesting that the kind of retail and wholesale sectors generally remain the softest, so kind of the goods production and distribution sort of industries. But the services sector generally does remain stronger. So for kind of businesses, business services, as well as kind of the consumer side of services as well. So, you know, yeah, in line with very much what the RBA said today, capacity utilization is still above average. So, you know, kind of while the activity picture, you know, is improving in the business survey, you know, the cost and the price pressures remain a little bit evident there, and it kind of comes through in that still high level of capacity utilization.
That's Gareth Spence there, the head of Australian Economics at NAB. For slower interest rates once passed through by the commercial banks to their customers aren't necessarily good for savers, but they are good for borrowers. And to find out more, I spoke with Sally Tindall from Canstar.
So for someone with a $500,000 mortgage at the start of the cuts, today's quarter of a percentage point cut will translate into a drop in monthly repayments of around $74. But when you look across what is now three cash rate cuts, you're looking at a drop in minimum monthly repayments of over $200 for these borrowers.
What does it mean for those looking to get a loan in terms of borrowing capacity?
Yeah, so this cash rate cut will mean that someone's maximum borrowing capacity, that's the maximum amount they can borrow from the bank, will most probably increase. For someone on the average wage, you're looking at about an increase to their maximum borrowing capacity of $12,000. But across what is now three cash rate cuts, you're looking at a boost of around $35,000. In the scheme of things, this is probably still small change when you're looking at buying a property in, say, Sydney or Melbourne, but it will put yet another spring in the step of a lot of would-be buyers who were sitting on the sidelines for many months when interest rates were on their way up. Now they're on the way down. I think that more people will be coming back into the property market.
So taking this rate cut into consideration, once it's passed through by the banks, how do you know if you're going to be on a good interest rate for your mortgage? And what should that good rate look like?
For starters, the average owner-occupier paying down their debt will be on a rate of 5.54%. But that's an average. You want to be aiming for below average. So know that there are going to be an estimated 70 lenders on our database offering rates under 5.5%. But if you want to set yourself a stretch target, and you should, 5.25%. We expect over 30 different lenders will be offering a rate under this mark for owner occupiers once this cash rate cut filters through.
Okay. Not every borrower, though, will see this rate applied to their repayment straight away, right? Some actually have to contact their bank.
No, they won't. And so when the bank passes on a rate cut, they do so in within about 10 to 14 days, particularly in the case of the big banks, and your interest rate will drop automatically. However, your minimum monthly repayments might not, because CBA, ANZ, NAB, for starters, they don't move your minimum monthly repayments, even if you've got a direct debit set up saying that you want to pay the minimum. You actually have to reach out to your bank, contact them and tell them to drop your minimum. Westpac, on the other hand, they do automatically drop someone's minimum monthly repayments, provided you've got a direct debit set up, as do other banks. So it's really important, pick up the phone to your bank, understand exactly how they will treat your minimum monthly repayments, find out if they're going down. And if they're not, have a think about whether you want to keep your repayments high and get ahead on your mortgage, or whether you need that money into your budget to pay other bills.
That's Sally Tindall there from Canstar, the head of Data Insights. Let's now take a look at how the share market reacted, because the S&P ASX 200 surged to another record high. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.4% to 8,880. Eight of the 11 sectors ended higher. Utilities, consumer discretionary and financial, the best performing. The worst performer was the industrial sector, down 0.85%. In terms of the top and bottom stocks, the top performing stock on the 200, Life 360, following its profit numbers, shares up there by 7.8%. It's followed by Light and Wonder and JB Hi-Fi, which rose 5.5% after falling yesterday. The worst performers on the market included Liontown Resources, down 8%, Clarity Pharmaceuticals also down 8%, and SGH 7 Group Holdings down 8.5%. For his take of the day's market news, including today's profit results, I spoke with Mike Jenica from UBS Wealth Management. Mike, first of all, how did the market react to the RBA's decision to cut interest rates to 3.6%? And what does it mean for the markets? Because that comes at a time where the ASX 200 has been hitting record highs.
Well, the market reacted positively to the lowering of the cash rate, with the RBA confirming the likelihood of further gradual easing from here. Today's decision is consistent with a constructive macro environment for financial markets and risk assets in particular. It reflects the progress made in bringing down inflation back to target, and that the downside risk to economic policy economic growth from tight policy are being addressed. But although the macro environment is positive, valuations across risk assets are elevated, as evidenced by those record highs. And we're expecting for the ASX 200 a moderation in future returns following a strong start to the year in 2025.
What about global interest rates at a time when tariffs threaten to impact inflation, especially in the US? Because I think we've got the US CPI numbers out later tonight, right?
Yes, that's correct. The key inflation impact from tariffs is on US inflation and interest rates, as there's been limited retaliation measures from other countries. Although we're expecting elevated inflation readings, the downside risks to US economic growth are emerging, and we therefore expect the Federal Reserve to respond to those risks by reducing its policy rate. Given the many changes in US tariff rates and deadlines, inflation is likely to move into the data over several months. So tonight's data will form a step in the inflation process and some information on the overall trends, but it's not likely to move expectations significantly, as that process will take time.
Reporting season kicks on. We had the likes of Seven Group, Seven West Media, Life 360 out today. Any catch your attention and why?
Well, the results are confirming a moderate economic growth outlook. So SGH highlighted a stable outlook for their industrial services businesses. Seven West also highlighted stability in the advertising outlook for free-to-air media. The strong performance really came from Life 360. Their strategy is leading to significant growth in revenue, and they're leveraging that growth into high profitability because their fixed costs are not rising as quickly as the revenues are. So overall, the divergence, I guess, with Life 360 performing well and the other two stocks being down, probably highlighted the strength of the secular growth available in the technology innovation versus the sort of more stable economic backdrop, which is well priced at the moment.
Is it just me, or does there appear to be a bit of movement in the CEO circles at the moment? I think today Life 360 CEO Chris Hull said he's stepping down. Yesterday it was Terry Smart from JB Hi-Fi. Recently we've had the CEOs of Boss Energy, Domino's, Car Group, Fortescue, Rio, Treasury Wines. I mean, is there anything in there? Is this a sign of the times, burnout from the pandemic, or is it just timing?
It's mostly timing. Some of the recent announcements, such as for JB Hi-Fi and Car Group, are more normal management succession plans from long-term CEOs. The other companies that you noted, it's probably more aimed at addressing strategic issues and improving performance. So overall, we're not really seeing a major change in CEO tenure trends. But the outcomes do show that accountability for company performance remains a key driver of that tenure.
And so finally, given this now lower interest rate environment here in Australia, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, given the strong performance of financial markets this year, we're highlighting to our clients a need to prepare for more volatility while tempering expectations in the near term. Despite some near-term caution, though, we continue to be constructive on equities and believe any dips in the market should be bought. We also highlight that interest rates are being reduced, and that locking in attractive fixed income yields is preferable to holding cash.
That's Mike Jenniker there from UBS Wealth Management. That wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday, a day where the Reserve Bank cut interest rates by 25 basis points to 3.6%. Profit reporting season, though, continues on. Tomorrow, we've got the Commonwealth Bank. It's followed by the likes of Telstra and Cochlear this week. We're aiming to have the CEOs of those companies on the podcast then. Until then, don't forget to give it a rating or review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you enjoy the podcast, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.